This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's hour number four of the G-Back Nation here live in Surprise, where young Sebastian Wolcott continues to impress there, playing a defensive shortstop here for your Texas Rangers. They are in the top of the ninth inning now and trailing the Royals. And Sandler's going to join us post-game, probably coming up at some point in the expressway. It's time now for an edition of Football's Finest. Here's Eric Chiafalo.
All right, thank you. There was a report today from Cecil Lammy, who no one knows. Turns out he's an all-time ball sacker.
He is a ball sacker.
He was trying to get the football world to rally around the idea of Rob Gronkowski returning to the NFL.
Ooh.
He was tying him to the Broncos because in his report he alleged that Gronk had been working out in Colorado and was primed for a return. He worked with Sean Payton at Fox for that 1 year that Sean Payton done with New Orleans and then went to Denver. So he was doing a lot of dot connecting and painting a picture that really, really garnered some steam.
I heard.
All day long today, I was actually under the impression that this might be real. Turns out it's a ball sacking for the ages. You have Twitter community notes saying that this is not true per actual league sources, and you also have Ian Rappaport saying, nope, nonsense. So for about five good hours today, I'm sure that Indianapolis, the hub of the NFL right now with the combine going on, everybody was talking about Gronk. Is he really going to do it?
He's safe. Decent throw. Kind of pulled Barnhart out of the position. They made a dive. Just doesn't have the length to make a play like that. But that's a hell of a job, dude, to get Rappaport and a bunch of insiders like calling league sources to try to figure out if there's some legs in this thing.
Yeah. I'm glad we waited. We didn't do it in NFL News of the Day because at that point we might have been perpetuating a ball sack. But we waited it out. We showed some patience at the plate. And at 5 o'clock, we were able to bring the real news, the hard-hitting football news here in the G-Bag Nation.
I kind of applaud what this guy did, being that every one of those insiders right now are scrambling around at the combine, you know, trying to get information and all that, and now they have to run something down like this. Completely takes them out of their game.
Yeah.
this is awesome.
It is. Well, it is pretty funny.
Because he's like a legitimate digital talent guy for DenverSports.com. He's got over 55,000 followers, so it seemed like, okay, is it legitimate? But he is purposefully doing this as a negative to ball sack the hell out of all of us.
Yeah. Well, you got to pick one if you're managing an account, right? You cannot go back and forth from legitimate reporting to ball sacking. That's cheating.
Yeah, no.
He's screwing us here.
You don't want to be that guy. So maybe he's turned the page and decided he's going full-fledged, just trying to be a fake reporter.
You think he doubles down and just stands by this?
Screw you, Ian.
This is real.
Yeah,
I talked to Gronk.
Yeah, just really, really take this and run with it for as long as he can. Because I was thinking, too, like, why would you want to go to Denver and play with, not that Bo Nix had a bad year, he had actually a really awesome year for the expectations, but why wouldn't you go back to New England and link up with Drake May and Frabes and go try and run it back.
Nah.
I mean, or Buffalo. I mean, you have options of contenders. Yeah. Cincinnati.
Somebody else. Don't go to New England.
Team up with Travis Kelce and Mahomes in Kansas City, because it looks like all reports do, real reports indicate that Travis Kelce is fired up for another season. So he's not going to be retiring, even though he looked like a guy who was already, like, his mind was already on a beach somewhere during the Super Bowl. But apparently that lit a fire underneath him, and Travis Kelce's planning on coming back.
That new fancy haircut just tells me everything I need to know about him, where his mind's at. I need shaved head, wrestling impersonator Kelce back if I'm the GM or coach of that team to be fired up about this, too.
Yes.
You know, he's washed.
Could billions of dollars change you that much?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Like, that you would just, whatever she says, do, you're going to.
Private jet Kelce now.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so that's
just a whole new world, man.
Yeah, I mean, if she says, "Hey, get this kind of haircut, wear this kind of shirt,"
I would hope not.
You're just gonna automatically do it, aren't you?
Do you think she told him that she was also into the dad bod as well? That's why he got a little bit frumpier this year.
Maybe
that's what that relationship comfort will do to you.
Turns out Aaron Rodgers prefers to play for the Rams if Stafford is going to end up getting moved here. Which is still no guarantee. It feels like kind of a coin flip on what's going to end up happening with Matthew Stafford and the Rams. But Aaron Rodgers is hoping to have Matthew Stafford moved so that he could step in. Now, Diana Russini is alleging that the Rams are comfortable rocking with Jimmy Garoppolo. Hard to really believe that. But how much of a downgrade do you think you're dealing with going from Stafford at $50 million or Aaron Rodgers at, I don't know what he's going to command, $20 million, $25 million? I don't know how low he's going to be willing to go, but it seems like him and Devontae Adams are going to be a package deal. Yeah, I think it's a pretty big drop as well, but I just have so much faith and belief in McVay and what they do.
They start the season 3-6 and get in the divisional round of the playoffs.
Well, that's also the great thing about that report. It's like Rodgers is saying, I'd love to play for the Rams. Who knows if the Rams want him?
Yeah.
You know? I did see the Steelers have not spoken with Stafford yet, and they're likely not willing to pay him the $50 million per year that he's rumored to be seeking. That's from Gary Dulock, who covers the Steelers in Pittsburgh.
I mean, I think I'd be willing to give him 50, but I'm not going multiple years. It's like 50 mil, 1 year guaranteed, four-year deal with a bunch of team options if you want to do that kind of a $50 million. But I think at 37 years old for Stafford, that one is that's tough right there. I want anything to do with Aaron Rodgers if I'm any team. Like, what I've seen of him playing.
Yeah, you don't want anything to do with Aaron Rodgers. You really don't.
The mobility was such an important factor, and how quickly he could set his feet is gone. It's just, it's not there anymore.
Bad teammate? Bad in the locker room? No.
Yeah, you don't know if he's going to be at minicamp or not, because he might be in Egypt tripping balls with his boys.
I mean, hey, I understand doing what he has to do, but guy can't play anymore. Just can't play. So,
well, I saw a report today, and this is interesting, because I'm sure every team views Travis Hunter a little bit differently. But at the top of the draft, you have the Titans, and their head coach and their GM said that they view him as primarily a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second team picking in the draft is the Browns, and their general manager, Andrew Berry, says he's a unicorn, but they view Hunter primarily as a wide receiver first. So that is, I mean, that's just one example. I'm sure it's maybe split right down the middle. I don't know, but I wonder if Travis Hunter has a preference of, like, I would love to be a full-time receiver and then mix in at corner, or vice versa. And I wonder how much he's going to be talking to teams like, no, like, I'm a starter on both sides, and if you're drafting me, this is my expectation. Otherwise, just don't even draft me.
Yeah, I want to get the biggest percentage of the salary cap that any non-quarterback has ever gotten. I want to do both and try to hit for like 50 or 60 mil in 4 years or 3 years when I'm negotiating a contract if I'm Travis Hunter right now. Like, let the evidence show that I can't do this. But until I want to do both. I would be hard to imagine wanting to play corner if I had to pick one. Do I want to score touchdowns or play defense? That's not a difficult judgment call.
They pay those receivers more now, don't they?
Yeah.
You're up to about $35 million, about $25 million for a corner, right?
That might flip back eventually, but for right now, the receivers are getting paid more.
Well, Chuck, how much do you think he's going to weigh at the combine? You think he's under 180 pounds?
No. No, I think he's probably put some weight on, wouldn't you?
I don't know. I have my doubts. I have my doubts of how big he really is going to be. I think he's a really slightly built guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he fits, like, he's a really good zone corner. So, like, I could see a team like Cleveland viewing him as a receiver because they're kind of set at corner. Like, what do they need more right now? It would be a playmaking receiver because they've got Denzel Ward, they've got Newsome, who they took out of Northwestern. But, yeah, maybe. I mean, 181 is what he was playing at Colorado, so maybe he does come in lighter.
Do we know about what he's going to be doing drills and stuff? He's not one of these guys that's not going to be participating, right?
He's supposed to be doing DB drills, and I think if teams request it, he'll do some wide receiver stuff.
I would be surprised with the way that some of this thing is going right now. I think that they're all trying to get together and talk about doing stuff in Boulder, you know, like working with Shador, although they got receivers that are on the that are going to be drafted, and they're all kind of talking about taking it out and not doing anything in Indy, and then everybody work at Boulder. That's what they're saying, that maybe with Ashton Genty, some of the things that he might be doing not working out at the Combine is he's going to make scouts come and see his teammates in Boise.
He's doing a solid for his Boise.
Yeah,
bros.
Like he's saying, like if I don't work out at Indy, then everybody's going to have to come. The whole scouting world's going to have to come to Boise to get my workout, and then his guys could be part of the workout, and they get the notoriety that way, working out with all the teams.
I just really want to see Hunter do the agility drills and the 40, and I just want to see exactly.
The guy's a chance. I don't know about that.
I want to see how.
It would be smart if he did. If he were to do everything at the combine, and then when it gets through, then he could just tell everybody, listen, I'm not doing anything else until the draft. I'm done. I'm standing on all my combine times. You got the tape, you got the medicals. You know, if he knocks this thing out this week, he does not have to do another thing until the NFL draft. That might be a smart thing to do.
You guys want a little Cowboys hopium?
Do it.
Absolutely.
Okay, we go to the Football 301 podcast. This is a Yahoo Sports pod hosted by Nate Tice.
All right.
Walcott turns on one.
Here we go. Look at that.
Going to have runners on second and third here in the bottom of the ninth.
That's two doubles for Walcott today. That one being a more legit one. The first one pop up and got the sun in the eyes of the center fielder.
It was a good hit.
So second base again.
Yeah, you're right. Brought us, I think, on the first one. Walcott knew exactly where
he knew it was a high sky
was
sun.
Going to be.
Yeah, he saw that guy out there struggling, shading his eyes.
That's
he,
my
he
guy.
Where to
you're
hit
my
it.
Mark.
Walcott, he was.
I didn't realize he was that tall.
He's huge.
Yeah, he is. I mean,
like he was like looking down at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
And like just the extremities, his reach must be out of this world. Jeez. It's just super, super long. Well put together, looks incredible. Can't believe he's 18 years old. I mean, he looks 25 in his prime, ready to rock and roll. Okay, so Nate Tice, Football 301. He's been down on the Cowboys plenty, but the coaching hires since they brought in Schottenheimer, which he acknowledges a little underwhelming, but every move they've made on the coaching staff since then, especially offensively, has him fired up. And here is Nate Tice.
Okay, Schottenheimer feels like a half measure, but these hires, like Riley and Adams, it signifies a lot to me that what they're investing in. And it's not a half measure, BS, yada, yada. Okay, we're just saying this, that we're going to like invest in the run game or something like that. These are actual hires. I'm like, yeah. Like Clayton Adams got me fired up. Like that was a good hire.
Interesting.
And I know it really is, because just what they were doing in Arizona. And then the fact that they went to college ranks and they got Riley, that showed to me, it's like, okay, we're going to get some new ideas maybe. Like kind of, okay, sprinkle in, because Adams is very traditional. Schottenheimer is very traditional. Okay, so there's some influx of ideas. How did you guys block up this play action that we haven't done before? How'd you use the quarterback in the run game there? You know, you can use Dak in high leverage moments. You don't want to run him 20 times, but you can run him twice. And just little things like that. It's, a little more bullish on them than I ever thought I would be. Have to get Guyton right. Have to figure out what to do, like a Martin succession. But yeah, a couple other pieces on offense, and like this is actually looking a lot better than you would expect, like maybe a month ago.
So how about that? I mean, we've been talking about it plenty. These hires we're a fan of, especially with the guys they brought in offensively. And Nate Tice sees it the exact same way. So,
yeah, that's what I was kind of hoping for around the time that the hire came together, that this was evidence that the Cowboys had, you know, actually done an honest review and decided we need to go in a different direction, something that protects Dak a little bit better. And then the way they followed that up with the assistant coach hires that weren't friends with Shoddy, yeah. I think we're seeing good stuff. Now, I do think, you know, similar to Mavs fans right now, there's a portion of Cowboys fans that don't want to hear any of it, you know. And if you're trying to spin it like, hey, we might actually have some good stuff going on here, they say you're being a homer or, you know, you don't get it. Listen, I know all the criticisms about this front office and point out their failures. And I know, you know, the roster has limitations, but I agree with everything that guy said right there. And I think there's legitimate reason to be optimistic here with some of the things going on with this team.
Yeah, and just to add to it, you had quotes from Stephen Jones talking about Terrence Steele, and he says that he thinks he's going to play much better in this system with Clayton Adams. And he says
Pen that pulls.
Yeah, he says Clayton has watched all the tape on Terrence yeah. and just really loves him. Terrence's strong point is his run blocking.
Yeah.
He says if we do what I think Shoddy and Clayton are going to do offensively, which is an even bigger focus on the run, that's going to help Steele. Clayton is very fired up, and so is Connor Riley, about what Terrence can do. And then they followed up, like, definitely at right tackle for Terrence Steele. And he said, yes, at right tackle. So any idea of maybe post-June 1 cutting Terrence Steele to save a little bit of money against the cap, that is certainly not on the table. But all of these coaches coming in here, and again, these are coaches that have worked with, you know, just average offensive linemen in Arizona with the Cardinals and at K-State and get the most out of them. So hopefully they can get Terrence Steele back to the top-tier version of himself.
Well, some of the best run plays they've had over the last couple of years have involved Terrence Steele, so it makes sense. You know, you've invested so much in it, and it would cost you against the cap to move on from him. So for me, the thing that makes the most sense is kind of building off what Howie Roseman said, where we can never have enough offensive or defensive linemen. I think you apply that to tackle. And you go, you get a veteran tackle, or you draft another one. You have Guyton, like, put him back on his timeline as far as his development. He's not ready, right? So treat him like a third or fourth rounder and say, hey, we need somebody else here. And then have him working to play right tackle once Steele's contract does mature here coming up in a year or two, that it wouldn't be so costly to let him go. You know, I think that's how you make the most of it right now. But I can't get past the idea of having a veteran Dak Prescott on that contract and basically punting at left tackle that has turned him into a high interception quarterback. Whenever you didn't have Tyron Smith, he led the league in picks last year with Guyton in however many games he played, 11 touchdowns, 8 picks. To me, that's the kind of ratio that you're signing up for, you know, and maybe the run game can protect you from it. There will be right. less pass attempts. But when you need to pass right now, you're not going to be able to do it well against good defenses. And your mistake at left tackle is a big reason why. So do you continue to let it be a problem for you? You have to ask yourself, what would Howie Roseman do right now? He'd bring out that credit card and go get himself a left tackle. Or he'd know at 12 he was going to take one that would be a plug-and-play type mm-hmm. of dude. That's what you're competing against, right? And I think you guys can definitely see the wisdom of that, but we know that's not something the Joneses will do, right? And that is a massive flaw here, is just accepting, well, we spent a first rounder on him, we can't just bench him. Why the hell not? If you want to win big, you better.
Well, they really should have played him at the end of last season. And that's the most important thing for Guyton. He hasn't played a lot of football. And you were out of the race, and you had guys that for whatever, the coaches, they want to keep their jobs,
trying to keep their jobs.
Yeah, that's fine.
Jerry set it up that way.
He did, but they missed big picture. They missed a big opportunity, unfortunately, to let that kid play, because the reps are really, really important for Guyton right now in his development.
I mean, but Adoga was better, is what they told us.
Yeah,
he was, but your season was over.
Yeah, I know.
So it's like, you know what, just go ahead and if he wants to have holding calls or line up offsides, fine. But at least get him on the field and have him play.
We'll go around the Luka as we kick off the expressway. All the storylines for Mavs Lakers tonight. LA Live's coming up at 5:40, and we're back here. It's the G-Bag Nation, the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Rhys Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It's time to hit the expressway. We go commercial free to the top. Jared Sandler sliding over from the play-by-play booth to join us, recap this Rangers spring training game and some of the big storylines in Surprise. Jared Sandler's the segment brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Go to advancedhair.com. The expressway is brought to you by the on-time experts. And we'll go around the Luka here coming up in a few minutes. The Lakers and Mavs tonight, 9 o'clock. In Los Angeles. And a good afternoon, Jared. How the heck are you?
Guys, I'm great. It's awesome to be talking to you guys. That means that marathon of a game is over.
Yeah, that was rough. I guess they did hold the Royals scoreless in 3 of the 9 innings, yeah. If we wanted to focus on the positive.
Yeah, 15 runs, 22 hits. You know, they didn't walk a ton of guys. Matt brought this up. For a 15-run, 22-hit game, the Royals didn't bat around once. That's probably not the most common thing, but it allowed us plenty of time to dive into some really random topics that probably weren't super related to today's action.
What's the reaction internally when your pitchers are just not getting the job done at all? But it's game what, 5?
Yeah, I don't think there's much. And I'll be honest, I think some of the starters, position player wise, who left after the 4th or 5th inning, probably don't even know the final score. You know, it's just not like.
How's Kamar Rocker doing right now?
Yeah, I think he's fine. Gavin, you know what's interesting about Rocker is he didn't throw, maybe he threw one of his he calls it a power curve. Some people refer to it as a slider. Whatever the characterization is thought of as one of the best pitches in the organization, like the single individual pitch and one of the best pitches, you know, for, you know, young pitchers across the league. If he threw it, he only threw it once. It was clear he was working on some stuff. He was throwing his slower curve, which he really didn't throw much at the big league level last year. So, you know, I think that's a good example of how, you know, it's tough to judge the results. He obviously, if this was a regular season game, would have featured his best pitch. But, you know, it, obviously he didn't, you know, he wasn't perfect by any means, and it wasn't the walks. I just don't know that he was commanding his fastball well enough. I don't think he was placing his fastball within the zone where he wanted, and that's why the Royals were able to drive some balls up the alley against him.
We had fun watching Sebastian Walcott. What do you think the timeline looks like for him?
Probably next year, the earliest. You know, he barely got to Double A last year. He's going to start there, I'd imagine. I mean, I guess they could be aggressive and have him start in Triple A, but I'd imagine they'd want him to graduate from Double A. He's going to be about 6-7 years younger than the average Double A player, and I think that if you know, he can get up to Triple A and get some Triple A at bats this year, that would be a you know, a nice trajectory to put him in position next year to come up, whether it's, you know, to be a contender for the opening day roster or you know, at some point in the middle of next season. But you know, he's super athletic, as you guys have seen, and you've been next to him. He is a big kid. He's strong. He's not just wiry. He's putting on some muscle. He's got really, really impressive power. And you know what's interesting about Sebastian is he'll swing and miss, but he's shown pretty good plate discipline. You know, he's been able to improve some of his strikeout and walk numbers from his first stateside season. And you know, I think when you look at young players, the aptitude or the ability to make some of those adjustments in the margin, you know, really portend well or tend to. And I think that's a big reason why he's jumped to not just being one of the top prospects in the Rangers organization, but, you know, according to some publications, the second best prospect in all of baseball.
Wow, that's awesome. What position do you think he'll play when he comes up?
Well, you know, I think he has shown improvements to where he can play shortstop if you don't consider what else or who else is on the roster. I think there were concerns that maybe he wouldn't, you know, move well enough, and you know, there'd be a challenge just because of how tall he is, but he has improved defensively there. I guess the question, though, is, you know, what do you get this year defensively out of Corey Seager? Because 2 years ago, he was a Gold Glove finalist. Last year, you know, with the hernia surgery, he just wasn't moving as well. Do you need, you know, do you get another year out of Corey? Is this the type of guy who you can maybe take to Corey and say, hey, we're moving you for not just a random guy, but the top prospect in all of baseball, right? You know, remember when Michael Young moved, it was always preceded by, you know, the ascent or the acquisition of a star or a stud prospect like Elvis. It wasn't just for a guy. Gavin, I think he could play in the outfield. He's got a good enough arm, and obviously the athleticism and the size plays well there. I don't think he plays anywhere else in the infield unless it's short. It doesn't make sense for him to play second. He's not going to play first or third, but he definitely doesn't need to move off of short yet. It's just a matter of what the makeup of the roster is this time next year and whether it would make sense for him to supplant someone at short or to go to the outfield.
He's very impressive. Yeah. Super smooth at that size.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
I was surprised how natural it looked for him to be a shortstop. All right, Sands, anything else? Any big takeaways on this team before we let you go?
Well, I'll tell you, one guy who pitched today who I think can make an impact at some point this season is Emiliano Teodo. He's one of the top pitching prospects in the organization. He had a scoreless inning, pumping, you know, 97 to 99. I'm really intrigued by how he starts in AAA and how quickly he makes it to the big leagues. If he's healthy, he'll be a big league pitcher this year, and I think it'd be a big asset in the bullpen.
How basketball aware is the clubhouse? Are they talking Luka and the Lakers tonight?
You know what? Not too many. Marcus Semien, Jock Peterson, I know that, you know, they follow hoop and others as well, but you know, really the guy we got to worry about, he was in camp last week, is Michael Young. Michael Young was in camp just talking about Luka, because he's a big Lakers fan. Yeah. We need to get that guy out of here and get him back to Southern California so he doesn't taunt us.
Did which interview did you seem like was more uncomfortable today?
I haven't listened to them yet. I'm going to listen to them now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, have you played them both?
We played Milner, but not Jock yet. I think we'll probably play Jock tomorrow.
Oh, okay, cool. All
right. Yeah. I'm excited to watch the game with you tonight.
I can't wait, fellas.
Cheers, buddy.
See you guys.
He is at Jared Sandler on Twitter, a must-follow for Rangers fans everywhere, play-by-play man, pre- and post-game show host. By the way, simulcast on radio and TV this year. That's going to be cool and innovative. They're going to try out a bunch of new stuff. Let's hit the expressway and, you know, go mostly around the Luka. We're going to start with the dueling perspectives. We start with the former Mavs assistant coach, head coach of the Orlando Magic, Jamal Mosley, recently asked at the podium about the claims of Luka's work ethic. Here's Jamal.
Monumental trade in the NBA, Luka to the Lakers. You spent a ton of time with him, getting to know him on and off the court, and obviously coaching him day to day, his development. A lot came out about his work ethic and his conditioning, and I just wanted to hear from you, someone that spent so much time with him every day, you know, how would you describe his work ethic and just his desire to develop as a player, even though he comes into the league with so much talent?
I mean, all I can remember when he first got to the league and us being there was a lot of nights spent in the gym of playing one-on-one with Dorian Finney-Smith and Dennis Smith Jr., of just playing basketball and playing ones and getting after it and getting a shot going. So as for the other stuff, I can't speak on it because I haven't been there in 4 years, and I'm really just focused on what we're trying to accomplish. But again, that's part of the NBA, part of trades, part of things happening. But my recollection of being with him was I constantly remember working and him being able to work on a consistent basis. One, because he loves the game of basketball, and when you love the game of basketball, you work at it.
Okay, so, I mean, the backstory is Mosley was one of Luka's favorite assistant coaches when he was here, and some insiders believe that the Orlando Magic are a possibility that he signs with ultimately as a free agent because of how strong their relationship was. But, you know, that reaction isn't overwhelmingly in support of Luka, if you ask me. I mean, we played one-on-one a lot in late gyms. That's not work. That's one-on-one tournaments.
Yeah. I don't think it's the basketball stuff. I think Luka does love basketball, and it's not like, oh, you gotta drag him out onto the hardwood so that he can get his shots up or whatever. Yeah. I just think it's the discipline off the court that is everything else. How much of your weight room time are you doing? How much of the dieting are you actually taking into account here? I think those were the main things. And I don't think it was a question about Luka loving basketball. I think that's very, very obvious. He just also loves to do other things as well that don't necessarily help him be the best version of himself on the court.
I've long time stood in awe of players, you know, and we just had another one in the news talking about Micah Parsons, but Lawrence Taylor, you know, everybody knows the White House stories. I think, you know, it's legendary how these supreme athletes, Diego Maradona in soccer, you know, one of the biggest partiers in the history of sport, and they could get to the arena, the field, or whatever it might be on game day and be world class. Nobody in the entire sport better than them. And, you know, I think no matter what that backstory was like, there's nothing that will ever justify this trade. One of the interesting questions for Mavs fans going into this one, it's only been 3 weeks. You know, where do you go after this? Where do you go after the next game, the game back in Dallas in a month? Like, I think a lot of people are just going to leave basketball where it is, and maybe in the future, in a time to be determined, a transcendent star will, you know, fall and you'll be ready to try something new again. But I think for the foreseeable future, it's real the Mavs have lost a portion of their fan base. Is that
absolutely
your guys' read?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Especially,
yeah, no, it's for real.
Especially in a sport like basketball, where it is such a player-driven sport. Mm-hmm. How many, for the last decade, it's been, no, I'm a LeBron fan. So 1 year I'm a Cavs fan. The next year I might be a Heat fan. Then I'll be a Cavs fan again. All of a sudden now I'm a Lakers fan because I'm a LeBron fan. I think there was definitely a section of the Mavs fan base over the last 6-7 years or whatever that were Mavs fans because of Luka, and now they go where Luka goes.
Yeah, and the Mavs way was that we had one superstar. It was Dirk, and then he passes it over to Luka, and then all of a sudden that's ripped from you. That's like the foundation, the fabric from a couple generations of Maverick fans now, and it's like where the hell do we go from here? You know, you got a mercenary that you just traded for in Anthony Davis. You don't have that connection with him.
Mark Spears, a longtime NBA reporter, has the headline today that it was Jaylen Brown's defense in the finals that was the beginning of the end for Luka. And there's a couple of talking points in there that we've discussed throughout the show. I think at the end of the story that I read, his quotes get even more interesting. He says, I think there's more to that story.
Yeah.
He says, I know Nico real well, and he just doesn't do that stuff. As far as talking about the behind-the-scenes issues that maybe the Mavs have, he says, I think they're trying to be respectful and not go into the weeds, says Mark Spears. But now we'll see how things go with Luka in L.A. Things will be much more magnified. I don't think there's, you know, anything that's going to come out that hadn't come out in 7+ years in DFW that's suddenly going to be such a big deal for the Lakers. But, you know, maybe there is that bombshell that would make it make sense. I just doubt it because of all the examples I just gave you. You know, playmaker Michael Irvin, 3-time champion. Lawrence Taylor, 2-time champion. Diego Maradona, World Cup. All the success in Europe. Took his Italian side from relegation candidates to the greatest 5-year run that they've ever had. You know, and so it's just, you know, I guess we'll see and we'll wait. And who knows what Mark Spears or Nico Harrison could have, but I don't think anything's going to make Mavs fans forgive, you know, what happened. We've already seen everything that could possibly happen in sport. And when it happens with your superstar, what you do is you help him, right? Jordan didn't win a championship until 28 years old. He needed to get stronger. He needed to get better fit in his own way. Okay, Dave McMiniman, ESPN reporter, had a thing today. Lakers source told him in regards to Luka, a beast has awakened inside of him. I don't know what tonight's game has in store, but I feel like it's going to be high volume shooting, Luka trying to score 20 points in the first quarter. What do you guys expect from Doncic tonight?
Yeah, I mean, he's the kind of guy that we've seen. Usually he's a fast starter. Usually we see his biggest quarters oftentimes are first quarters, and there's a 12 or 15, 16 point first quarter, and oftentimes it starts with, is that step back three working for him?
Because
he's going to pull a couple of those, and if he sees the first one or two go in, all of a sudden now it's all hell's breaking loose on the defense.
Yeah, can't wait. Yeah. Could be high drama. You know, maybe he'll try a logo three.
Maybe. He checked that thing early. I went the more on 31.5 points for Luka on Prize Picks, and I'm hoping he gets about 20 of that in the first quarter.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Are you guys with me that this Lakers team is overrated right now because of how much attention that it's getting? Like, he doesn't have a lob threat.
Yes.
You know how important that is.
Yeah. LeBron's his lob threat, right?
Yeah, that's about it.
Like, that's all they've got to work with.
That's a good lob threat, but it's you need it from the five.
We were talking earlier, and I reached out to some people at the Mavs and just kind of asked about how to defend Luka. You know, we had some questions about that, and the both guys were saying, listen, you have to make him work. You know, you have to make him work during those possessions. You got to mix coverages on him, and you really got to execute. The guy said, like, he is a B word to guard. That is a problem. And he said, but you got to attack him, you got to attack Reeves, and you got to attack LeBron. So that's tonight, the Mavs. It's not just attack Luka. They've got some other things that they're going to try and do tonight and make these make some others for the Lakers have to play in this game.
I definitely think there's a path to success against this team because they don't have the bigs that can punish you and out-rebound you by 25 and just make everything else you do a moot point. DraftKings has the most bet player prop for tonight's game. Luka Doncic to score a triple-double. They're only paying you plus 310, so they're expecting a very involved Luka Doncic. LeBron's talking about it. J.J. Redick's talking about it. Colin Cowherd talking Luka. He got ball sacked on that story that the Mavs organization was banning Luka jerseys. Did you see that?
Oh,
from
yes.
NBA Centel?
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
I saw that yesterday, man. He can't help himself, that cow turd.
No, he loves a good Rumoruski, and that one got him. Again, I think he might be the most ball-sacked national host out there. He's just running with stuff, throwing stuff at a wall, see what hits. It's time now to go back into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has L.A. Live.
Drinking alkaline water, bro. I've had a gallon, and I'm thinking. Hey, now, Woolchuck, man, you said you think how many points Luka might put up?
Hey, 31.5 is the Prize Picks, more or less. So I hit the more on that.
Okay. Ooh.
So we need 32 points to cash in.
Ooh. I don't know, man.
You think I should go last? Should I hedge my bet?
It's just because it's so much darn energy. My man might cook himself early or something. Yeah, it might be like 25, 26, 28 type vibes. Who knows, man?
Anything could happen.
Yeah. Anything can happen. All right, let's get into a Toxic Tuesday right after someone who is hella toxic. It's Mr. Rick James. I love him, though.
All right, you swear. Fire up this funk and let's have a toe.
I had this friend of mine, I hadn't seen him in years. We used to agree on everything. And we just ran into each other on the street recently. And a completely different person. He's on a completely different algorithm, I tell you. No, it's weird. I ran into this guy. We used to agree on everything. We start talking about the Tartarian Empire, okay? About how, but all these beautiful buildings we see down here, they weren't built by us. They were built by a hidden civilization that we don't know about. And then the mud floods came, and we wouldn't even know about this ancient civilization if you're nodding your head here. Yeah, yeah. We wouldn't know about any of this unless Admiral Larry Bird had gone to Antarctica and went over the ice wall and talked to the reptilian overlords from the planet Nibiru. And we find out about the Tartarian, all this stuff, right? And I'm talking to my buddy, and he doesn't know about any of this. That's the thing. Like, the guy's a an idiot.
Hey. Yes, this is LA Live for Tuesday, February 25th, 2025. It is a Toxic Tuesday here in LA Live, and it will be toxic. Don't take it out on me. It's just the times we live in. That comedian you heard right there was your man, Tom Green.
The GOAT.
Yeah, your boy. That's your boy, Dawson.
He is.
Have you seen the Tom Green doc on Prime?
No, I need to watch it.
Yeah, you do. You got to check that out, man. It's pretty good. He travels the country in his camper with his dog, going from comedy show to comedy show, collecting his money and just living at, you know, national parks.
Wow.
Yeah. Sounds amazing.
Yeah, he's living his life, man. I watched it, and it definitely made me want to get my stuff together as for my health, go to the doctor and get the full checkup.
Yes.
Yeah, because he was going through it at one point in his life.
Yeah, he had the testicular cancer. Didn't
He yeah, he says about it. He says he had ball cancer. He just says it like that. You know, I was suffering through ball cancer, and I was like, damn. Yeah, it's called This Is The Tom Green on Prime Video. It's pretty darn good, man. Pretty darn good. All right, G-Back of the Day, we do it every weekday on The Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You can follow Solly. Find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here comes from our man Pedro. We went to a Cavs game. We're going to a Cavs game right here. Apparently, during the timeouts, they played like a little family feud type game. Mm-hmm. And this one just fell all the way apart.
Beer. Name a place where you often find an elevator.
A hotel.
Name a popular New Year's Eve tradition. Oh, try again. I'm sorry.
Hell.
Dating.
Uh-oh. Try the elevator question again.
A hotel.
Try it again.
apartment.
All right. And toast and champagne. Name a New Year's Eve tradition.
Try again. Sex.
Yeah, I'm just throwing ones out there now.
Fell all the way apart. The host and everybody, bro.
Lucius, we've determined at the Cowboy games when they have they have giveaway things, mm-hmm. like they do contests, that they feed them the answers before they ask the question.
So nothing like that would happen?
Yeah, it's like we automatically give away like Windstar World Casino rooms and stuff like that. I've never seen anybody miss. Like, okay, in 1972, this cowboy, and I'm like, this person wouldn't even.
It's like, no way did you know that.
There's no way they're getting this Charlie Waters question right.
Yeah, it's conspiracy.
Charlie Waters, okay, yeah. You win $500 at the Windstar World Casino. I think we need to do more of that, though. I think we need to kind of.
More failure.
Prevent the failure.
Just fake it.
Fake it like, you know, like, but like the Cowboys do the right thing. They give away stuff. You know, give the guys and gals the answer. That's the right thing to do.
Things that make you say, are they faking at that Cowboys game?
No, they're really not.
All right.
Guy born in 1998 getting a 1972 question right?
Yeah.
Sure.
How the hell would he know?
Yeah. Boy, that's a smart Cowboy
he
fan.
Wasn't there.
My God.
Some fakery.
You see that?
That's amazing.
Full fakery going on. All right, this is LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Toxic Tuesday. Someone hacked into HUD yesterday. You guys familiar with HUD? Do you know what HUD stands for?
Housing of Urban Development?
There we go. Ding, 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 ding. Bartis, you're going to get a sticker at the end of the day, a little smiley face you can take home to your parents, say you had a good day in school today, okay?
Thank you. You fed him that answer, didn't you, Lucius?
Yeah, you told him.
I think I was around when HUD started.
Oh, he was there.
Yeah, were you there?
I was there.
Yeah, someone hacked into HUD yesterday. TV monitors at HUD were hacked to show an AI-generated image of President Trump kissing Elon Musk's feet.
Ooh.
Toes. Oh, wow.
Kissing toes.
Yeah, it was licking them toes. Yeah. That's diabolical, by the way. It's diabolical if you see the image.
Quentin Tarantino loved it.
It was on all the monitors at HUD, and they didn't know what to do, so they started unplugging all the monitors.
abort.
Yeah, just unplugging all the monitors, man. Highly diabolical. Strange times we are living in. And the AI was not perfected because Musk had two left feet. I've seen that.
Ooh.
Yeah, amazing times here,
man,
people.
The mistakes that the AI can make is just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
I was asking him to do an AI G-Bag Nation holiday card, and I'm like, there's five of us. It kept putting six people in, four people in. I'm like, wow, how can he be so smart at other stuff and just failing at this?
Yeah, you got like seven fingers.
Yeah.
You look at the fingers type vibe. There's a lot of accounts on Instagram which you think they're like actual people, but they're not. They're AI images.
Oh,
they got
really?
Full accounts and everything. They have OnlyFans or what's that other one you can go to? Shoot.
Brian?
It's not actually, you know, it's just your own thing. I don't want Brian to turn it into something nasty. I don't know. I don't want you to out yourself either.
No, I don't know. I only know the OnlyFans.
Nah, man, this is another one. Anyway, it's one of those little paid websites that you can go to and work directly with the audience. But yeah.
The clientele.
Yeah. Yep. Amazing times right here. That's one. I can't remember the name of it, man.
That's weed. That's weed.
And plus, I don't use it a lot. I only had one podcast that was on there, so I only go to that one.
Oh, Patreon?
Patreon!
Good poll, Chief.
Patreon!
There it is.
Thank you, bro.
It's not dirty at all.
No, it's not dirty at all. That's some people use it that
like
way. But
like you pay for the chat.
Right.
Like if somebody wants to ask you a question, they give you a super chat.
Yeah.
Patreon, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Photos, all types of things can happen on Patreon. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Toxic Tuesday. A Donald Trump impersonator ran down on Alec Baldwin. Did y'all see that?
Punched him, didn't he? Or pushed him? Or
he got real, real close. Like, he definitely invaded a man's space. Looked like Alec Baldwin was coming back off from a plane trip. He had all his bags with him. You know, you're tired and you're just not getting home. You pull it up in front of your house. And here comes a man. Jason Scoop is his name. He's a comedian and Trump impersonator. Was just trolling Alec Baldwin about, you know, that shooting that happened at the movie set.
Yeah.
Just wearing them out. It was pretty good, actually. I mean, it's a dangerous to do to just walk up on somebody and start trolling them out there. Alec Baldwin told him he'll break his neck. Ooh. Alec Baldwin, remember, that was a Hollywood bad boy. The Baldwins?
Yeah.
Those are Hollywood bad boys.
Yeah.
I don't think, was he the guy that shot the guy? Alec was?
Shot the lady by accident, as they say. Yeah.
Man, that's tough. I don't think I'd be threatening homicidal violence to any human after a moment like that in my life.
Lucius, right?
Have you heard it?
I haven't heard it.
Okay, you haven't heard it. You got to think about you, somebody walking upon you and your family in that moment, and you don't know what you might do. I get it. I wouldn't troll nobody. And I mean, especially if I shot somebody by mistake, I definitely wouldn't be threatening somebody else's life. But listen to this.
Well, Alec, if you don't want that pardon for murdering that woman in cold blood,
man,
you can call it first degree, you can call it whatever you want, but it was not good. She's looking down on me right now, smiling, happy. Thank you for confronting the man who took me out, who killed me, and that's okay.
Now, let me ask a question.
Sure.
No, you realize, by the way. No, look at me. I want you to look me in the
eye. Yeah, sure.
You got a camera on me here?
The ring. No, it's the ring.
But the blue movie, you realize my kids live in this building, right? But I want you to know something.
We love the children. We're doing great deals for the children.
Just be real careful.
Okay.
If this camera was here, I'd snap your neck and have him break your neck. Right, so you know that, don't you?
Okay. All right, Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin, ladies and gentlemen. Class act. Believe me.
I want you to get out of here.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin, ladies and gentlemen.
That guy's lucky he's still with us.
Alec Baldwin, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Incredible times we are living in here, people. Incredible times.
Unbelievable, really.
It really is some incredible times, bro. I like when Trump does, when he grits and get a little gravelly, and then he gets back to regular talking. He shit is a little gravelly, and you need to come back. Oh, I love that. Oh, my God, when he does that.
It's a goldmine for impressions.
God, it's so good.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it is so good. Did y'all see that the president of Argentina gifted Elon Musty the chainsaw of bureaucracy at CPAC?
No.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't understand why the president of Argentina is the one handing the chainsaw bureaucracy for our government to Elon Musk. But Elon Musk was out there. What'd you say, buddy?
He's saying, here, go clean up America with this chainsaw?
Yeah.
Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
You the symbolism of
cutting
it?
The cost and everything. You know, cutting down the bureaucracy. I get it. Takes a long time for laws to get passed, and things that are good for the American people take forever, 10 years sometimes to happen.
Yeah,
but
if ever,
yeah, right. If ever, exactly. Facts drop. But I liked how Elon Musk looking like a little stand-up frog, the WB frog with a chainsaw in his hand, did this at CPAC.
This is the chainsaw for bureaucracy. Chainsaw.
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 Yeah. It's wild stuff, man. Wild times. Wild times. And speaking of Elon, so he has Dodges, right? Doge, whatever you want to call it.
Doge,
is that what you say?
Yeah, Doge.
Okay.
Doge. Yeah. Department of Government Efficiency.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I own a few Doge, too. I'm waiting for that thing to pop up. It definitely fell down yesterday.
That was rough.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty. Doge's hackers, the kid name was Big Balls.
Yes.
And remember, they were talking about it on the news. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's made it to the House floor.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
The suspect has been described as a very evil individual by Steve Bannon, and has been operating in clandestine fashion with a night crew of computer hacking juvenile associates, one of whom goes by the alias of Big Balls.
Yeah.
He's been waiting for that moment.
How about that?
I yield the balance of my time to the senator from Louisiana.
Yeah, that was crazy. Maryland Representative Jamie Raskin right there, putting Big Balls into the congressional record now.
Yes, yes.
Big Balls is now in the congressional record.
Big Balls.
What a troll that is. Amazing times. Amazing times.
Unreal.
They're going to be talking about Big Balls for a long time, bro. Unbelievable stuff.
First accounting of that phrase since LBJ was in office, right?
Yeah, yeah, let that him out right there in the middle.
Yeah, Hager slacks, man. He called the guy, he called Joe Hager and told him, hey, I need my slacks to be a little bit bigger.
You gotta let these boys breathe.
Yeah.
Right there by my bunghole.
Yeah, right there by my bunghole. Gotta let these boys breathe. Hey, does the name Thaddeus Matthew ring any bells to you boys? Thaddeus Matthews.
Not Matthews, no.
Mm-mm. Nope.
What Thaddeus were you thinking about?
Moss.
Thaddeus Moss, tight end LSU.
Thaddeus Young.
Well, basketball. Thaddeus Matthews is a.k.a. the custom pastor.
Oh.
He's a pastor and radio show talk host.
Okay.
He transitioned yesterday at about 2:25 per his wife.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah. Prayers.
Yeah, he was fighting a little sickness. He was surrounded by his loved ones and his pets and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
He went peacefully into the bosom of Abraham. He did, but he leaves us a legacy. He's called a custom pastor for a reason. Yeah. And this man says some wild things. When I'm talking about legacy, I'm talking about, I've never heard a pastor say things like this.
You know, and I mentioned that my fetish is a woman with pink toenail polish. I suck toes.
Oh. Wait, but as a pastor, would you suck, do you have one woman's toes that you suck, or you just suck any woman that you're involved with's toes?
No, I'll suck every toes, but if I've got a woman and I like her toes, I suck her toes. If they're pink, got to be pink toenail polish, and they got to have good feet.
Oh, yeah, God. Good feet.
Can I get an amen?
Amen to that, sir.
My God.
Got to be able to walk on water.
Puts the hoe in wholesome.
Oh, my God. I know they up there showing him a whole bunch of clips of things that he said on this planet Earth and ask him to explain these things. I know for sure he's in line. Letting people cut in front of him. Go ahead, you can get in front of me, brother. You can get over right here in front of me. I've been here for a minute.
Toe and nail polish.
Yeah. Let me see. Here I'm going back and forth with a troll.
Hey, what kind of preacher is you?
Why you want to know?
Because you cuss too much for me.
Then why are you listening to me?
Because you're kind of ignorant.
Now, let me ask you something else, darling. Ain't it ignorant for you if you don't like me to be listening to me? Ain't that, isn't that pure ignorance?
You kind of ignorant.
It's a wild guy, man. He's up there in heaven in the arms of Abraham. We're going to miss him. He leaves
Did he say, oh, what the hell?
Oh, what the hell? He leaves a hell of a legacy behind, though, all these clips of him cussing. I'm going to leave you one more before I get out of here, because he says the name of his church, and the name of his church sounds like a shell game to me, in a sense. Sounds like a shell company. Check it out.
Brandon World. No offense, but he's not a solid OJ when it comes to the Word of God. Well, if you want to hear me preach, bring your ass Sunday morning. This is not the church here tonight. I'm going to give you room this time, but if you come back and say anything stupid, your ass is gone. But how you know I ain't solid with the Word of God? I ain't got no problem with God. In fact, come Sunday morning at the Naked Truth Liberation and Empowerment Ministries.
Naked
Truth Liberation Empowering Ministries. Yeah. Sounds like a shell company, bro.
Sounds like the bad guys that just trolled into town on Little House on the Prairie. You know, they're looking to sell you some snake oil and get out of town.
Make it rain.
Yeah, with all your goods and services.
That's a mess right there. Mm. Toxic Tuesday, I told you to be toxic. These are times we're living in. Extraordinary times, people. Buckle up. I'll be black tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. My name is Lucius Alexander, and I will holla, peace.
There he goes, LA Live, every now by 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. We're live in Surprise. Our spring training coverage brought to you by ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960, and the on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing, same-day service guaranteed. It's time for a proper round trip, or we'll chuck.
Let's do it. Do the Rangers have a top 10 rotation? How this trade is still paying off for Texas? That's next.